Te Comenta, episodio 2. Bienvenidos creativos al episodio 2 del podcast de Arte con Menta. En este podcast del mes de julio vamos a contaros algunas noticias del mundo de la ilustración y de la creatividad. Begoña Fumero va a daros un par de consejos sobre los materiales este verano y tendremos una genial clase de inglés de mano de Steve para vuestras cover letters. Recordad que nos podéis encontrar en arteconmenta.com, en nuestras redes sociales, y que próximamente ofreceremos servicios, tienda de recursos y muchas cosas más. Recuerda suscribirte para estar al día.
Noticias.
Como ya os adelantamos en el episodio anterior, el mes pasado estuvimos en el cuarto Festival de Fantasía de Fuenlabrada. Fue un fantástico fin de semana rodeados de gente genial, empezando por supuesto por los encantadores María José y Abel, los organizadores, y por todo su staff, con tres Fs, que hacen que a nadie le falte de nada. Como Arte con Menta fuimos invitadas y seleccionadas para estar en un stand del Mercado Troll, que como otros años estuvo en la carpa del festival. Estaba en la plaza, enfrente del espacio joven La Plaza, en el que además podíamos visitar las salas La Cocina del Infierno, Gotham, Arkham y Krypton, con unos decorados que más quisiera alguna que otra serie de la tele. El Asylum de Arkham, los pasillos de Calabozo de Gotham, la Batseñal que coronaba el Mercado Troll. Se daban charlas, conferencias, mesas redondas, exposiciones guiadas. Podíamos ver desde Javier Olivares a Paco Cabezas, pasando por el maestro Azpiri, sus hijas, Alex Méndez de boladedragonzeta.com, Pacheco, Raquel Cornejo, María MG, que dieron la charla de Pincel en Femenino, la editorial independiente Apache Libros, presentando sus libros, sus autores. Se pudieron ver conciertos en vivo y en directo. Pudimos ver a la Legión 51, que pasó por medio Fuenlabrada y los trajo todos al festival. Se realizaron programas en directo de la radio, de Castillos en el Aire, talleres infantiles y cosplay. Sobre todo mucho cosplay que se podía ver en todos sitios, desde Melisandre hasta un T-Rex que se hacía fotos con todo el mundo. Vimos rol, vimos juegos de mesa, proyecciones de películas, muchos concursos, muchos regalos. Fue un festival súper completo que siempre nos deja muy buen sabor de boca y cada año crece más. En el Mercado Troll, que es donde estuvimos nosotras, el nivel estaba muy alto y conocimos a muchísimos creativos que no teníamos fichados, con otros que ya conocíamos. Estuvimos con, por ejemplo, los ilustradores como Marta Ponce, Azara Herrero, Juapi o Lorentín y Recondida Rick, y creadores artesanos como Aroa, de Mimani Artesanía, Lucamis Fantasy Creation, Karif Runclar o FLI. Y por supuesto mucho escritor, firma de libros y conferencias. Pudimos ver a José Antonio Cotrina, Gabriela Campbell, Aje Escudero, Javier Castañeda, David Luna, Alfonso Azpiriz y sus hijas Lorena y Diana, Roberto Alhambra, Arcaiz León, Víctor Blázquez, Juan de Dios Garduño, Darío Vilas, Alfonso Zamora y algunos más que seguro que no pudimos ver porque estábamos a tope en nuestro stand. Sobre nuestra apariencia en el stand, pues solo añadir que la creatividad nace desde niños y pudimos observarlo con la cantidad de peques que se atrevían a jugar con nuestro Tangram en nuestro stand y lo orgullosos que se sentían al conseguirlo. El Tangram, por si no lo sabes, es un juego oriental que potencia la creatividad a base de unas formas, unos triángulos y cuadrados, tienes que conseguir crear unas figuras que no es tan fácil como parece. Entonces, si eres padre o vas a serlo, tienes intención de serlo, te instamos a darte cuenta que siempre, siempre potencias la creatividad de tus niños con juegos, lecturas, actividades, todo tipo de talleres, porque cuando crezcan será una cualidad muy valorada y que cada vez está más infravalorada. Esta edición del festival ha tenido la friolera de 7.000 visitantes, 2.000 más que el año anterior. ¿Qué sorpresas nos deparará en 2017?
Hablamos ahora de la convocatoria Hago Cosas, para participar en el libro de artistas flamantes de este próximo otoño. Un libro exclusivo para las galerías de arte y cuyos participantes pueden ser artistas de todo tipo. Escultura, ilustradores, serigrafía, performance, fotografía, collage, etc. La convocatoria termina el 15 de julio, así que si tienes el portfolio a punto, yo no me lo pensaba dos veces. Eso sí, solo podrán participar artistas creativos menores de 35 años. Para saber más de Hago Cosas y recibir las bases de participación, escribe a convocatoria@hagocosas.es. Si quieres ver ediciones anteriores, por ejemplo, entra en www.hagocosas.es. La Bolonia Children's Book Fair 2017 ya tiene fijada fecha, siendo esta del lunes 3 al jueves 6 de abril. Estas fechas también se han decidido para que no coincida con la Feria del Libro de Londres. Bolonia Children's Book Fair está dedicada a la producción literaria para niños y jóvenes. Es una cita importante para todas las partes de este género de la industria editorial y, como su nombre indica, se celebra en Bolonia durante la primavera y sirve de encuentro para editoriales, distribuidores, ilustradores, agentes y cazatalentos. Por otro lado, si vives en Madrid, que sepas que los talleres semestrales y anuales del Museo ABC 2016-2017 estarán abiertos a inscripción desde este próximo martes 5 de julio. Talleres de caligrafía, acuarela, ilustración digital, talleres de dibujo contemporáneo para mayores de 60 y otras actividades que ya puedes mirar en su web museo.abc.es. Con este calor, una de las mejores maneras de estar fresquito es ir a la Biblioteca Nacional de España y ver una exposición molona, como puede ser la de Antes del pop-up, los primeros libros móviles de la historia. Los pop-up books son libros que saltan, emergen o brotan, que toqueteas para descubrir secretos entre capas o que contienen desplegables. Los más antiguos libros móviles que se conocen datan del siglo XIII. Probablemente esta exposición supone uno de los primeros acercamientos monográficos en España, desde una colección pública a algunos de los más antiguos ejemplares conservados aquí. Estará en Madrid del 10 de junio al 11 de septiembre. Entra en su web www.bne.es.
Materiales y técnicas.
Comienza el calor y con él se nos pueden estropear ciertos materiales. Recuerda cerrar todos los botes de pintura bien para evitar que se sequen y secar las pastillas de acuarela antes de cerrar tu estuche, ya que con estos calores y la humedad sobre las acuarelas se pueden quedar chiclosas. Si las témperas se te han secado, cosa que suele pasar más a menudo en este pigmento, intenta rehidratarlas poniendo unas gotas de agua, según la cantidad de témpera que tengas, y déjala reposar en un lugar fresco de tu casa. Winsor & Newton saca un nuevo set de acuarelas de la gama Pocket Size Cutman, que incluye un pincel de agua. Para los que no lo sepan, el pincel de agua, pincel que sacó primero la marca Pentel, es un pincel de plástico transparente que se carga de agua y cuyo dosificador de líquido empapa la punta del pincel a medida que haces presión en él mientras pintas. Suelen haber de tres tamaños, ancho, medio y fino, pero con pelo sintético siempre. Ahora esta marca se apunta al carro de pincel de agua y lo incluye en este set de viaje. Contiene 12 pastillas de colores, incluyendo negro y blanco, y su precio, 20,79 euros.
Inglés para creativos.
Comienza con esta clase nuestra serie de formación de inglés para creativos, para crear, en este caso, vuestras cover letters. No te asustes, está en inglés, para que practiques tu listening, pero tienes toda la transcripción en inglés y en español en las notas del programa, en arteconmenta.com/podcast02.
Hello and welcome. I'm Teacher Steve, and on today's podcast, we're going to be talking about the all-important cover letter when applying for a job. You'll also be able to find the transcript for this podcast in English and Spanish on our page. Okay then, so let's begin. First of all, we need to clarify the difference between a CV, or curriculum vitae, and a resume. Now, you may have been told in the past that a resume is for the American market and the CV is for the rest of the world. Well, this is partially true, and it does affect the need for a cover letter. The main difference between a CV and a resume is a CV is generally more complete. It contains a record of your education, your employment history, your achievements, whereas a resume, although similar, is generally just like one page long and can be modified depending on the job or the position that you are applying for. This is really the main difference between the two. It is true that the resume is mostly asked for in American markets, while around the rest of the world, and specifically in Europe, a CV is required. Now, it can be argued that the resume is more interesting because it's a quick read for an employer, because it's shorter and more in line with the job position. It is particularly useful to an employer when they're advertising a job position with a lot of possible candidates. They will want to find key information about a candidate very quickly, and a resume allows them to do this. But here in Europe and other countries, the curriculum vitae are still the norm, and they are longer, sometimes more than 2 pages. So how do you make your application attractive to an employer? How do you show the key information quickly, and how you can make it relevant to a particular job? Well, this is where we need the cover letter. So, in today's podcast, I'm going to talk to you about cover letters, what they are, why we need them, do's and don'ts when writing a cover letter, and give you some useful phrases you can use. So, what is a cover letter? Well, it's basically an introduction, or carta de presentación, where the person looking for a job will give some very short but specific information to the employer about their backgrounds and their qualities in line with the job that they are applying for. Now, imagine for the employer, I mean, some job positions are more popular than others. So, you know, the company may receive hundreds of CVs or resumes, and that's a lot of information for people to read through. So the cover letter is a shortened version, if you like, of the CV, but more specifically related, as I said, to the job in question. And this is much easier for employees to read than the whole CV at the beginning. The idea is to keep them interested so they will actually read your CV, and then hopefully you'll get an interview as well. So the cover letter is the first step. Hopefully here in this podcast, I'm going to give you some good ideas to follow. But if you have any doubts later, or if you want some templates to follow, feel free to Google it. Go online and put into Google templates for cover letter or cover letter templates. There are many available. Okay, so this may seem obvious, but many people make this mistake. Do not open a cover letter with "my name is." This is really not necessary, as your name will always appear at the end of the cover letter, and the employee does not need to see it at the beginning. Okay, so don't write it at the beginning of the letter. Okay, so the cover letter is separate to the CV, even if you send them together. Do not simply convert the bullet points that you have in your CV into longer phrases in the cover letter. That's really not the point. This is your chance to expand on the information from your CV, but keeping it relative to the position that you are applying for. Now, for example, if you were previously in charge of a web design team in your previous job, you know, don't just say, "In my previous job, I was in charge of a web design." Okay, you can read that in the CV. Instead, make it more specific, more interesting. You could say, "Well, using my knowledge, research, and experience, I led a dedicated design team in the creation of quality web design, always staying up to date or ahead of design trends." Okay, now, in that last example, what I'm doing is I'm expressing my knowledge. I'm talking about research that I did, and also the fact that I can lead a team. That is a lot more interesting than just saying, well, you know, in my previous job, I did this. So remember, for each position or each job you apply for, pick out or seleccionar the skills and experiences from your CV that best matches the position. Oh, and by the way, cover letters today are pretty much expected for any job you go for in the UK and in the US, and in many cases, multinational companies also. Don't overemphasize your education in a cover letter. Okay, many people tend to focus too much on what they have studied, but the reality in many creative jobs, and certainly in the UK and the US markets, is not so much what you've studied, but what you have done. Okay, this is very, very important. Employers want to know what you can do, so leave the educational background for your curriculum. Maybe you're applying for a first job, so you can't talk about previous work experience or projects you have done. Or can you? Well, you probably wouldn't be applying for the job if you didn't think you had the skills to do it. So although you may not have worked before, you would definitely have used your creativity on many occasions. At school, perhaps you worked on a school magazine, or maybe you did all the artwork at family events. Perhaps you won competitions. There will always be an area of your creative experience that you can talk about. So how can you capture the employer's attention without bragging? Bragging basically means, you know, oh, I'm wonderful. Oh, I'm the best. Oh, I'm incredible. Okay, that's what bragging means. Now, if you start explaining that, you know, how wonderful, amazing, and incredible you are, well, yeah, this kind of is bragging. But then the cover letter, the idea of the cover letter is to try to capture their interest. So they will read your CV and then later on give you a job interview. So it's a fine line between what we call bragging and, you know, trying to sell yourself. So you may find you need to brag a little. Well, for some people, this could be quite difficult. And some people actually prefer to write their cover letter from the perspective of a friend of theirs. So imagine how a friend would talk about your talents and write it down from their point of view. Obviously, later, before sending the letter, you would then need to go back and change all of the subjects. So, you know, instead of saying he or she, then you'd have to put back I. Okay, but this is one option, and many people do this. So if you're feeling, you know, a little bit uncomfortable with talking about how wonderful you are, well, that's an alternative. Okay, also avoid generic letters. Okay, that a generic letter is a letter that you just copy and paste and you send the same letter to everybody, to every employer. You know, really don't do this. Try to keep it personalized as much as possible for each job you're going for. Also, try to avoid opening a letter with "to whom it may concern" or "dear sir or madam." All right, now in the past, those were very formal ways of opening up a letter or a business letter or a job application. Today, with the internet, really, you know, it's so easy to go online and find the name of the person that we want to write to. You know, go into the company's corporate webpage. Normally, you can find the contact name. You know, if you can't, then it's always better to put the job title of the person you're writing to. For example, "Dear Human Resource Manager" or "Dear Head of Creativity." Okay, but try to avoid anything too generic. Also, in your letter, don't just talk about how wonderful the position will be for you, you know, how much you want to work in that company. The employer, he kind of already knows that. But what they're interested in is a simple question. It's like, well, why should we hire you? So keep that in mind all the way through. So here are a couple of examples of introductions at the beginning of a cover letter for you to consider. Okay, the first one goes like this. "I have recently left university and I'm currently looking for my first job. I'm very impressed with the work you do in your company and I would love to be part of that." Okay, that's one option. Okay, now compare that with this one. Having always loved art and design and regularly taking part in competitions and exhibiting my work, I went on to study fine arts at university, and I'm now looking to put my talents and what I've learned into practice within a company such as yours. For a long time, I've been a fan of the work your company produces. In particular, okay, there's quite a difference between the two introductions. Both of them grammatically correct. There's no mistakes. But in the first one, you're not really giving the employer any information about your abilities previous to studying at university. Where in the second case, you know, you're talking about you winning competitions, always interested in art and exhibiting your work, and then you went to university. Okay, so quite different there. Also, with a cover letter, you can consider the idea of testimonials. Okay, a testimonial would be basically another person who could endorse your experience and talent. This is like a reference letter. In fact, we will talk about reference letters for jobs and also for renting property, but that's another story that we will deal with in another podcast. Okay, but the idea of considering testimonials or reference letters in your cover letter is valid. Okay, so basically this is something that for most jobs in the UK, in fact, most companies will ask you for a reference, and you can include that, or you can include somebody's email address in your cover letter that they can then contact for a reference. So in your cover letter, don't be afraid to write a phrase like this: for more information regarding my work experience, feel free to contact, and then the name of the person that you're giving as a contact, add their email address and the relation to you. The relation part's important. Give their job title. Perhaps it was someone you previously worked with, or your previous job boss. Or, I don't know, it could be a teacher. Anyone who can give a testimony for the kind of work that you do, and also a testimony about your professional attitude. I'll give you an example of this. Many, many years ago, when I was a kid still living in England, I just left school and I was applying for my first job. So I had no references to give anyone from a previous employer. So what I did, I actually wrote the name of a friend of the family, particularly of my mother, who just happened to be a policewoman from London, which is, you know, is a great reference. And she actually wrote a very nice letter saying what a level-headed professional kind of person I was, and that I would be good for any company. And, well, because of her, I got my first job. So, you know, anyone's valid. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about levels of formality and informality when writing a cover letter. Now, what I would suggest is before you write a letter is always go online, do some research, check out the company that you're applying for, or the position. You know, read their blogs. Maybe they got some video feeds, watch their videos. You know, see how they are addressing the people. What kind of voice are they using? Are they formal? Are they informal? Is it a nice friendly mix? And the best advice I can give you really regarding formality is, you know, copy. Whatever voice they use, if it's formal, if it's informal, just, you know, do the same thing. Okay, so a question people often ask me is, you know, how long should a cover letter be? Okay, well, we said before that the resume, if you use a resume, not a CV, that is normally about a page long, and a CV can be, you know, 2 pages or 3 pages, depending on your experience, your history, you know, and the kind of job you're going for. But the cover letter, it should be as short as possible. 1 page, absolute maximum, okay? Many people will actually say, well, try to limit the number of words to about 250, okay? Well, it takes practice, and most people, you know, write a page quite easily, and then they have to start editing down. But if you aim for around, I'd say probably about 250, 300 words, and definitely no more than a page, okay? And the other thing about this is formatting, okay? Now, if you're applying for just a regular office job, you know, it's going to be a plain page with the normal font, or, you know, Times Roman or something like this. obviously for creative jobs, you're creative. You want something a little bit more than just black and white text. My only advice would be here to, be as creative as you want, but you must make sure that the employer can actually read what you're writing, okay? And fundamental. So many times I've received CVs from people who very artistic, and the font blurred into the background color, and I just couldn't read. So just keep it clear, okay? The formatting would be fundamental. Just make sure they can read it. If it can show a little bit about the kind of person you are artistically, then fantastic. Okay. Now, I've talked about leaving testimonials, adding someone's address or email address. Feel free also to include a link to your portfolio. Okay. I see absolutely no reason why you can't do this. It's very simple. It doesn't take up any room. You can put a QR code if you prefer. So QR code or an online link to a portfolio. The only thing about portfolios is, depending on the job you're applying for, you may need more than one portfolio, so keep that in mind, and then send a link or offer a link to the best portfolio that you think matches the job in question. You may also wish to include some kind of a story in your cover letter. When I say story, I mean, the reasons why you are applying to this particular job. Perhaps the company inspired you at some point in your life before. I don't know, it could be a company that does television or radio advertising, and you remember one of these adverts and it inspired you somehow, or a poster design. Everybody's different, but you could explain maybe why this particular company or the particular kind of job you're looking for, is interesting in your life, or any difference that it made in your life. But if you're going to do it, as I said before, remember the length of the letter, okay? 250 to 300 words, one page maximum, okay? So if you can tell a story, keep it short, keep it simple. Okay, so we've talked a little about things that you should write, things that you shouldn't write, and some different pieces of advice. And one more very fundamental recommendation is editing, okay? Many people just finish the letter and then they just post it, they send it without reading it back. Now, I strongly recommend you read it like two or three times yourself, possibly four. Make sure that there's no spelling mistakes, grammatical mistakes, things like that. Because sometimes, as it happens to me, I write very quickly, and when I read it back, I'm like, I didn't include all of the words. In my mind, the words were there, but when I wrote it, my mind was working faster than my fingers on the keyboard. So don't fall into that mistake, and double check through your editing. Another thing you can do is write your original text in a word processor like Word. It may sound obvious, but many people don't do it. Word will tell you if there's a spelling mistake. You can set the language. If you're writing to an American company, then set to US English. If it's a British company, then put UK English. When in doubt, to be honest, these days, if you don't know if it's a British company or an American company, you just know that they want you to communicate in English. Although I'm British, I would actually say put the generic US English, okay? But edit as much as possible. Give the letter to a friend. Have a friend or family member read it, okay? Well, obviously they need to speak English. But have somebody else read it. Show them the job advertisement as well, so they can compare your letter with the job advert to see if it matches, okay? So editing is fundamental, and it's basically that all-important final stage. Okay, so let's take a recap. So I said at the beginning, don't open your letter with "Hello, my name is." Okay, don't do that. Always try to find the name of the person that you want the letter to get to. Match your level of formality with the feel of the company. Okay, remember I said go online, check out their video blogs, whatever video feeds blogs. Get an idea of the kind of formal or informal language they use, and then copy. Don't be afraid to brag a little, okay? Probably a good idea to avoid words like, you know, wonderful, incredible, awesome. Yeah, personally, I wouldn't write those myself. What else? Don't send generic letters to every company, okay? Try to personalize it for each post that you are applying for. Offer testimonials, okay? Send a link, offer a link to someone that they can contact to get a bit more information about you. Always a good idea. So the difference between the CV is you get the opportunity with the cover letter to expand on the bullet points of your CV, okay? So you can give more specific information about the skills that you think best suit the job. And the last thing as well, the fundamental part, is the editing at the end, okay? So you look at it, have someone else look at it, and whatever you do, don't send it without editing first, okay? Okay, so before I go, just to conclude here, there was also a true or false questionnaire going along with this podcast. So there were 10 statements. And as you listen to the podcast, you could determine whether the answer was true or false. So, for example, the first one was cover letters are only required in the USA. True or false? Well, obviously that is false. Okay, cover letters are a requirement in both the UK and the US and pretty much any multinational company where English will be a common language. Okay, so that was definitely false. The second true or false question was the cover letter is a reduced version of your curriculum. I'm going to say it's false because, okay, it is shorter than your curriculum. But as I said, you don't need to include all of your educational background, things like that. You just concentrate on the skill areas that you think will be the most sellable to a company. The third true or false was a resume applies to the British job market applications. Well, as I said, nope, that's for the American market. Number four was never brag. Well, okay, I think we covered that one. Be careful with the vocabulary you use to describe yourself. You don't want to sound overly enthusiastic, you know, oh, I'm so awesome, okay? But bragging to an extent is necessary, okay? You do need to sell yourself. Right, the fifth true or false question was never add links or video clips to your cover letter. This is totally false. Do it. Add links to your portfolio. If you have video clips, you know, if you have a video out on YouTube, add the link, go for it. Right, the next one was always address the cover letter to an actual person and not just a generic dear human resources manager or whatever. Absolutely. Okay, always try to find the name of the person that you want the letter to get to. Okay, always better. There are international standards for cover letters. Use them. Well, this is fine if it's an office job. Okay, if it's an office job, then you can go to any, look online and choose any template. But as creative people, as I said, feel free to experiment. Just make sure that the reader can actually read the content, okay? Hirers may never look at a CV if the cover letter does not catch their attention. Well, this is a fact of life, okay? If you just copy the content from your curriculum onto your cover letter, it may be pushed to one side. The employer may have another 50 or 60 cover letters to read. You know, so make it personalized and catch their attention. Focus as much as you can on your educational background in your cover letters. Absolutely not. Okay, keep that to an absolute minimum. It's always the key is to tell the person what you can do, what you can do for them, not what you've studied. Okay. And the last question, the number 10, was an acceptable cover letter will fill an entire page. Well, a page maximum, okay? So 250, 300 words, as I've said a couple of times, one page maximum. Okay. Well, I hope this podcast will help you put together a decent and appealing cover letter. and I wish you every success in your job hunting. So this has been Teacher Steve, and I'll speak to you soon. Thanks for listening. Hasta pronto.
Y hasta aquí nuestro episodio 2. Esperamos tus opiniones en los comentarios y tu valoración de nuestro podcast. Recuerda que puedes hacernos cualquier sugerencia o pregunta para siguientes episodios en arteconmenta.com/contacto. Pasad un feliz verano y nos vemos a la vuelta.